And she's still down in Washington. If you were paying attention to what went on in Washington yesterday, did you happen to see Barack Obama going from here to there and actually getting sworn in for a second time in his first full day as president of the United States? First, you had a bit of symbolism.
During this period of economic emergency, families are tightening their belts, and so should Washington. And that's why I am instituting a pay freeze on the salaries of my senior White House staff.
I guess it's not symbolic to Rahm Emanuel, who'll be under that freeze, but there was also some zealotry.
Public service is a privilege. It's not about advantaging yourself. It's not about advancing your friends or your corporate clients.
And there was a promise.
We need to make the White House the people's house. And we need to close the revolving door that lets lobbyists come into government freely and lets them use their time in public service as a way to promote their own interests over the interests of the American people when they leave.
In his first encounter with the press, Barack Obama had a full plate. There was a lot talked about there. Todd Kozlik joins us from Capital News Connection. He's in Washington. Todd, what do you think this signals? I mean, he talked about things that don't require any sort of congressional approval, it seemed to me, with maybe one little sort of general exception when he mentioned the economic malaise that he's trying to solve and to bring jobs back. But how bully was this pulpit yesterday?
Well, certainly on the pay freezes, it was quite a big bully pulpit, and on Guantanamo Bay, fulfilling the campaign promise to close Guantanamo Bay. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, he campaigned on it, everybody expected it, but just from across down Pennsylvania Avenue there in Congress, there are certainly a lot of Republicans, at least, who don't agree with it, and a lot of people of both parties who don't know where the heck the next installation is going to be. They're not going to turn 250-some-odd detainees loose, that's for sure. So now the big question is, where's the next facility going to be? And no one seems to want it in their states. In fact, no one does, except one person yesterday said he wouldn't mind having it in his district, and guess who it was? Jack Murtha from Johnstown.
Of course, of course. And he's gotten he's great on procurement issues of all kinds. The prisons would just be another thing added to his list of his shopping list there. Well, let's talk about the stylistic difference. Was it the number of things that Barack Obama talked about, or was it the selection of things that he talked about that made this a different face to Capitol Hill from the White House?
No, I think it was the things that he talked about, not necessarily the number. The pay freeze issue is an interesting tack to take, leading by example. You know, so freezing the pay of the higher paid White House staff in a time of economic belt tightening. Like you said, don't forget the White House has to put out a budget in just a few weeks here, and in the campaign and in the transition period, President Obama said that he's going to go through that budget and won't be shy about cutting out programs that are deemed to be wasteful or fraudulent or prone to abuse. And there are a lot of programs in the federal government that probably meet that threshold. By the way,
well, hold on, let's talk about, before we leave that, the budget process is really going to be the early signal of how this White House deals with Congress. I mean, traditionally, and really in the last three or four administrations, the budget has emerged from the White House and, has been sort of there's been an alternative budget from Congress, or it's been changed radically in Congress, and then there have been veto fights. It's been a very long, drawn-out, stalemated kind of a process. Any sense that Barack Obama might allow the budget to emerge from Congress first and then use his sort of veto power to eliminate line items and earmarks?
Well, I doubt that he would let Congress take the lead on that. It's a pretty there's a pretty set way, at least up until now, of the way the budget process works. And you're right. Sometimes the presidential budget is just a template of ideas. Thanks very much for that. Congress will now do exactly what they want and ignore it. However, this is a popular president with a Congress of his own party, so they're not likely to do that. John, let me just say really quickly, keep your eyes open for a report coming out today from the GAO, the Government Accountability Office.
Right.
Will come out today detailing hundreds of government programs and agencies that GAO thinks are prone to waste, fraud, and abuse. Members of Congress who commissioned this report want that to be Obama's roadmap when he goes through the budget and says and zeroes out some of the programs that might not be worth the money.
That's interesting, Todd. Any sense that Congress is trying to preempt Obama on this issue, or are they working together to time this report for today?
This report was requested a long time ago, probably 8 or 9 months ago, and in fact, it does come out. They re-request it every year. It comes out every year. I think they're latching onto it this year as kind of a it has new legs behind it because of Obama's promises.
Well, the GAO's list of earmarks that need to die. Todd Zwillick telling us all to watch for that. Thanks, Todd.
Sure.
From Capital News Connection, joining us from Washington.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.